Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We continue our conversation on Budget 2023 or Belanjawan 2023. Last week, the Finance Minister as well as the Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, presented a slew of presentations, including that of a look into 5G Malaysia. In the tabling of the amendments towards the Budget 2023, or the retabling of it, the argument here is that Malaysia's current 5G rollout by DNB, or Digital National Berhad, was mentioned briefly by Anwar, and it appears that DNB will continue on its role as the 5G single wholesale network provider, and it is ensured to be better managed to achieve the 5G deployment targets. There's a lot that needs to be unpacked on this, not just about the NBN 5G, but generally speaking, about networking in Malaysia as well. Joining us on the line is Suresh Sidhu, the EdgePoint director, founder, as well as CEO. Suresh, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. It's been years, to be frank, since I last spoke with you. And the topic of the conversation has always been about how we can better manage our network connectivity in the country. Just a little bit of background, the 5G deployment and rollout by our neighbors are far ahead compared to us. I was traveling on a rural train in Thailand, across various small towns. Sometimes there weren't even any towns in between. And quite frankly, the network was fantastic. I could upload to Instagram, to YouTube videos, and to TikTok videos while moving on a train, just surviving on the 5G network on the telco. There was no Wi-Fi even. That is truly remarkable. And the fact that I have to contrast it, that I can't even get good coverage downtown KLCC, it's already troubling. These are the kind of common complaints that you've been hearing by your friends as well as yourself, perhaps. But generally speaking, how do we move ahead when it comes to 5G deployment and this whole notion of better managing the NB rollout of 5G?
I think on 5G, firstly, just to set the context, I think Malaysia did start a little bit behind the neighbors, and I think Thailand is ahead. But I've also done a lot of travel now with EdgePoint operating in Indonesia and in the Philippines. And definitely now I think Malaysia has outstripped those two countries. And I think the network is, you know, maybe still some way to go, but actually much better than many of our peers per se, right? I guess the question when it comes to pushing ahead with 5G, there's probably no substitute for getting as much rolled out as possible, making sure it's rolled out in, you know, areas of highest significance and uptake as well. One of the challenges, naturally, when you build a new network, and I think this is not unique to DNB, so to give it a little bit of a sort of leeway, when you first roll out a network, you'll always have patches, right? You can't always get the contiguous coverage, right? It takes you about a year or two. I think what would help maybe from a user experience point of view is to go back and make sure there are very strong contiguous corridors now of coverage, right? I believe that is actually in the DNB rollout plan, which was in for this year. But I think that will do one thing that will help, our old experience. The second thing actually is maybe the model for DNB. Now, I think you have many pros and cons, but rather whether you have one, two, or three networks, the issue is always going to be about adoption. And I think it'll be interesting for DNB and the telcos to sort of find a way to better cooperate. As the Prime Minister has talked about transparency, we'll come to that in a bit. I think one of the challenges is to get everyone on the same page, because you can have the best 5G network in the world, but if no one's using it, then, you know, you sort of have an asset that doesn't really do what it's meant to do as well. So, and I think there are both things the network can do, and potentially in future budgets or initiatives by the government that can help with adoption. We often think of adoption as a sort of passive process that begins with, you know, affluent right down to less affluent over 5 or 6 years. But for example, we could look at ways that, you know, we could incentivize more the M40, the B40 to also upgrade their phones and start, using 5G services. One of the things that we'll probably find with 5G is there's no magic bullet. There's no killer app that will suddenly transform your life. But it's probably usage, adoption, comfort, and familiarity, you know, and hence we'll build an ecosystem which will probably bring a lot of benefits for Malaysia as well.
The whole idea of single wholesale network has always been debated. In fact, only 3 countries around the world, please correct me if I'm wrong, by GCMA has reported to roll out, including Rwanda and South America, if I'm mistaken, or South Africa, pardon me, and I think Mexico, with abject failures in each of them. DNB, however, argues that it will be different this time around in Malaysia for single wholesale network. However, that debate has now come to pass, and we have single wholesale network. All the telcos have signed, respectively, not without drama, not without resignations of the highest order in some of the telcos in Malaysia, but generally speaking, this is what we got our hands into. Do you feel that this whole notion of having to pursue this path despite the negative arguments against single wholesale network is moot, or do you think that there is still debate in terms of trying to create even perhaps a dual wholesale network, or even just going back to just spectrum allocation as per normal, how other countries are doing their 5G allocations?
I think, you know, maybe the best way to think about it is the idea of running a shared network is moot, is done, right? Now, the question is probably, is there room for a second? Is it now? Is it further down the path? You know, I think generally, you know, as an industry, you always prefer to have two. I think at this point, we've got a starting point that it's probably better to just move ahead with DNB right now. The government talked in the budget about meeting an 80% coverage goal. It talked about getting Jindalee projects done properly, maybe even pushing 5G out into some of these Jindalee projects. I think it'll be very hard to do if you start from scratch with a new approach, or you layer something on top of it, which needs to also go through its own startup phase, right? So if our goal is to get as much coverage as possible, I think the only pragmatic answer is to proceed with DNB right now. But perhaps, as Prime Minister himself has noted, find a way to make sure that the telcos, the public, the ecosystem feels that everything is being done in a very transparent manner.
Okay, let's talk about transparency. The statement coming in from Anwar Ibrahim during the budget presentation, or the retabling of it, argues that the concerns previously was that it wasn't done transparently. He calls for a review of the current 5G deployment plans. He also argues in his budget speech that more transparency and more comprehensive action should be managed in terms of ensuring full participation of all telcos in the country. To echo this, previously before the budget retabling, the Communications and Digital Minister, Fahmi Fazil, argues as well that the current rate of the 5G rollout in the country has been a concerning factor. He argues that a complete review of the 5G rollout via DNB is expected to be completed by end March 2023. In your opinion, what does it mean by both the Digital Minister as well as the Prime Minister / Finance Minister in saying more transparency is going to be ensured in terms of enabling DNB to roll out 5G better? What does it look like with this more transparency?
I think one thing is to make sure that, because it is, after all, a project that has the government involved as well, it is, you know, in effect, creating a public good for people. The greater sharing of information, one where rollout, for example, will happen, when rollout will be dense enough for you to have a good experience, perhaps better, you know, alignment between the operators and DNB to make sure when coverage reaches a new area that everybody knows about it. You know, in the traditional days when we were all part of integrated telcos, I myself have been involved in 3G and 4G rollouts. Whenever you added coverage in an area, there's always a big sales and information campaign, right? In this model with DNB separate from the telcos, I think a lot more alignment is needed so that consumers, who after all cannot experience 5G directly, they have to go through their MNO, need to be told that, you know, 5G is now available. So I think that's one element, a simple element of transparency, you can say. The second one is probably to make sure that, you know, on the questions of procurement, on the questions of allocation of contracts and, you know, sort of, you know, both of two things where, you know, who wins these contracts, what type of pricing is achieved. I think a level of transparency is important in a public project. And I think DNB is a very unique project, not just, you know, for Malaysia, as you say, but actually for the world. And for it to be successful, and maybe to convince the public that, you know, it's actually spending its money wisely, perhaps make more information around where the money goes more available and addressable. So, you know, that's probably a key requirement for sort of improving everyone's confidence and trust in the system. That said, you know, I've been involved as a vendor, you know, pitching and, you know, through the process with DNB. And my own experience is they run a very professional procurement process. We have to bid, you know, we have to give prices. It's like any other company that we work with. Perhaps the problem is in how they're presenting their information and how they're making it, making people aware about some of their practices as well.
Okay, let's talk more on the 5G rollout and deployment. Very shortly, we'll go for a short break before we continue on our conversation. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Suresh Sidhu of EdgePoint. Let's talk a little bit more about this idea of 5G wholesale pricing. It currently isn't regulated by MCMC's mandatory standard of access pricing or MSAP. However, there is a need for us to look into better transparency, the way we've seen how the communications and digital minister was talking about, how the finance minister slash prime minister was talking about. Do you feel that this whole 5G wholesale pricing mechanism should be made public or to some degree be made known to the regulators so that it ensures that greater transparency idea is being achieved?
Yeah, you know, Ibrahim, I think that would really help. I don't know specifically what's been shared with the regulators. I suppose, and I expect quite a lot, you know, which would be typical. When we run wholesale businesses, we typically make submissions on request, and we provide a fair amount of information about how pricing is, you know, achieved for any network service, actually. So I assume that, you know, such a instance has been done with DNB. Perhaps it would be good to ensure, you know, within the realms of, I guess, business confidentiality, that some of that information is public, or perhaps as a proper white paper or a, you know, a good public inquiry, or, you know, just an open platform for some of this information to be presented as well, right? I think one of the key things is for DNB to work with the operators so that the operators feel that they're at the right point, that they can be advocates for this approach, right? There are many things to commend on a, you know, the approach of a single wholesale network. It is easier, you know, it can get things done much faster, and it should, in theory, from a scale point of view, be cheaper because you can buy a lot more and your purchasing power is much greater, right? So I sort of feel like, you know, one of the things that DNB needs to do is to continue to work with the operators so that the operators feel they've got to a position where they understand the pricing, the services on offer, and they are comfortable with it and they're advocates of it to their customers as well, right? I think we still have a gap on that. So maybe transparency is threefold. To the government, you know, on how, you know, procurement is done, you know, where, you know, whether the pricing of fundamental inputs is reasonable. Two, to the public, so that, you know, the pricing of services is sensible and follows normal accepted practices. And three, I think, to the telcos who are the customers, that, you know, the end-to-end commercial projects and platform provided are sensible and, you know, things that they can feel positive about when they adopt them as well.
Okay, let's talk about that whole notion of how the telcos could become even advocates towards the 5G rollout and DNB itself. As it stands, YTL Communications, Telkom Malaysia, Celcom, DG, and U-Mobile have signed up for the 5G access agreements. However, Maxis has not. They argued that they will delay its decision until the government completes its review into DNB. So not only is Maxis not yet signing up, the current repertoire of telcos are not necessarily becoming advocates per se of the single wholesale network or and DNB. Do you feel that this whole notion of how the telcos are tentatively approaching this whole arrangement is still very much under consideration and a lot of things can change in the near future? We're entering into speculation or speculative territory, of course, but what would be some of the considerations that you can share with us on air when it comes to the telcos and their arrangements with DNB right now?
I would say that, you know, with the caveat that, you know, a lot of this is speculative, I think there's probably still a lot of lack of comfort. You know, I'm not sure whether it's trust issues or just, you know, issues of familiarity with a brand new model. that prevents sort of wholesale positive adoption and sort of, you know, communication from the telcos, you know, for the DNB model. So, you know, whatever it is, you know, we have a new government. It looks like, you know, the most pragmatic thing is to retain DNB, at least for now, and to push ahead. And, you know, one of the key things is to make sure that that relationship between the operators and DNB is a solid one. Otherwise, I think it will be difficult. So I suspect if I'm an operator, and you know, I definitely will see the benefits of working with DNB. I probably need to be more convinced. And I think operators will still want to have some longer-term risk management in place. You know, let's say for whatever reason, there are constraints with the DNB model. Something doesn't roll. It doesn't really roll out the way we expect it to be. In order to access certain 5G services, you may need to offer, you know, sort of more choice in the market, whether it's a second wholesale network or allow operators to do some sort of 5G infill on their own for the more critical areas. I think they feel, you know, they would like that addressed, is my suspicion anyway, right? I don't have any inside knowledge on what they're really thinking. But if I were sitting in their shoes, I see that there's a national policy. Fine, I think I would say, let's try and adopt the national policy. But one of the key issues is risk management, right? Telcos are here for a long term. They make, you know, even though in this case, they're no longer perhaps looking at the network, but they're making big decisions about where they invest new services, where they invest for distribution, you know, how they try and, you know, put money into sales and marketing. These are all still big ticket items for them, right? And if they feel that the long-term picture is a little bit cloudy for them, it's tough for them to make decisions and to make, you know, strong commitments to sort of getting something done.
Okay, we'll go for one more short break when we discuss something that you definitely know about, which is EdgePoint itself. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for continuing on with us. I have with me Suresh Sidhu, the CEO and founder of EdgePoint. EdgePoint is the infra provider for ASEAN-based telecommunications company, infrastructure company. They want to be the 5G leading provider in the region. Suresh, of course, you carry decades of history and, of course, experience in building telco towers based on your past employments as well. Let's talk a little bit more about EdgePoint, because despite you creating this company a few years ago, this is the first time I'm having you on my show. Let's talk about some of the ideas that you have when it comes to rolling out EdgePoint, and then perhaps contrast it with what we've seen from the budget that was presented last week.
Okay. So I think one of the things that you need to realize in the world is the world is changing, right? 5G, whether it's a single wholesale network, dual wholesale, or operator run. So, you know, we operate now in three countries with, you know, kind of three or four different models, right? So Malaysia, Indonesia, the Philippines, right? So 5G is changing the landscape, right? For how operators think and behave. I think that transition began with 4G. So, you know, so as this thing changes and as your customer changes, you know, we're a tower provider. We provide wholesale access to towers. That's a pretty simple model. If you stay rooted in kind of a very old-fashioned way of doing things, you may miss the transition that your customers are going to. So in order to deliver, you know, everywhere data in a data-rich experience, which, by the way, not only means good 5G, it actually means great 4G as a backup, you know, as well, you know, the operators will expect to have access to many more locations. That's the first thing, right? So I think our ability to scale up and offer, hey, you know, not just the traditional, I got one tower here or one tower on the other side of town, but a much bigger range of sites as well. The second thing is options, right? I think the traditional tower in many ways, particularly in the urban world, is probably dead, right? We're not going to see these 40 meter, you know, red and whites anymore. They come in the form of lamp poles. They come in the form of, like, you know, billboards. They come in the form of, you know, bus stops converted with active points. You know, so I think the ability of a good infrastructure player is to understand that it must also transform what it considers a site, right? So that's the second thing we thought about as we created EdgePoint. The third thing is the service is typically very passive. You come to my site, I just offer you, in effect, you know, the industry insider word is steel and grass, right? So we just run a tower and we offer you some space on the ground. You put your equipment up and you pay us the rent, right? But in the future, with much more dense 5G, what the operator may want is just a simple fiber connection and one active point, you know, which is very hard to describe as a tower, you know, or even a site. It's just a little bit of radio infill to make, you know, the sort of overall service experience great. If you, as a tower co, start saying, hey, that's not my sweet spot, I don't know how to do that, sorry, you know, I think you will miss kind of the ability to probably provide more holistic solutions for what customers will need going forward. And actually, what we believe, a great new opportunity in the world of micro cells and small cells as well. So I think we see, maybe not in the immediate term, the next 2 or 3 years, but over a much longer period, the, you know, what we provide will start to look less and less like a tower, but maybe more and more like multiple access points to which we can deploy all kinds of solutions that an operator can then use to deliver great services to a customer.
Okay, final question to you, Suresh, is that whole idea of how EdgePoint is interrelated with the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority through Digital Bridge. Do you feel that these kind of investments and collaborations with you know, companies that are operating locally and domestically in ASEAN and those of trying to find foreign direct investments elsewhere, do you think that that kind of relationship is going to go on even further, reinvigorating that kind of cross-regional growth moving forward for 2023 onwards?
I think it's a really interesting model. You know, I think the ability to bring big investors like Digital Bridge and Ardia into the, you know, into the ASEAN region is a tremendous one. They're very interested. I also have been very, very heartened, you know, in working as an entrepreneur with these investors, how long-term they think and how deeply sector-specific they are as well, right? They really understand what infrastructure needs to do. And because I think they work across multiple countries, ADIA is itself a sovereign wealth fund. They understand the national aspiration of any individual country, right? So I think they also seek to sort of work within those confines. I know that these two investors are not alone. Many others are looking at infrastructure assets, whether it's telecom, renewables, you know, other forms of, I think, the energy transition as well. And it would be a great opportunity, I think, for countries like Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines even, sort of think how to, you know, how to attract more of this investment, particularly because this infrastructure is really as far away from hot money as you can get, right? It's money that comes in and stays forever in a country, right? You build a capital asset and the capital asset is in the ground, right? It goes nowhere. It really helps develop nations. It gives opportunities for people to create new businesses, people like myself, which may not be that available otherwise. And I think it creates a lasting, you know, sort of long-term sort of value creation opportunity that actually serves multiple needs, right? It serves investors' needs. But because we're also, I think, a well-capitalized company, we're able to support our customers, you know, with their own long-term investments, which I would argue bring great benefits, not just from a consumer point of view, but from a national point of view as well.
Okay. Thank you very much, Suresh, for taking the time to speak with us. Just a short, quick one. Do you feel that you're happy with the budget 2023?
Look, I think it's a good budget, you know, and it really is very targeted around the current priorities and challenges that Malaysians face, right? So I think it's a great budget, focused on M40, B40. I think these are the things you hear out there. You know, staff themselves talk about, you know, inflation, cost of living. So I think it's exactly the right thing to do at this point in time. So, you know, and there are some nice, interesting things as well with a focus on entrepreneurship that will be also useful to see, you know, and interesting to see how that develops into concrete actions.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. That was Suresh Sidhu, the CEO and founder of EdgePoint, talking about 5G connectivity in contrasting of the budget 2023. Continue to stay with us on Astro Awani as we continue to unpack and observe the kind of developments that is currently happening on budget 2023. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.